European governments are increasingly concerned about how large numbers of Muslims living in their countries will react in the event of war with Iraq. Since 9/11, an intense debate has been underway on how to integrate more fully the 15 to 20 million Muslims living in Western Europe. NPR's Silvia Poggioli has just completed a journey through Islamic Europe for a series of stories to air this week on All Things Considered, and she joins us on the line from Rome this morning. Good morning, Sylvia.
Good morning, Leanne.
Where did you start your journey?
I started at the Straits of Gibraltar between Spain and Morocco. It's one of the most trafficked gateways to Europe for illegal immigrants from North Africa, and the human smuggling trade is flourishing. You can see that the huge profits have been invested into miles and miles of huge, empty, newly constructed high-rise buildings on the outskirts of Tangier. But for the young men and women who dream to go to Europe, it's a very, very dangerous trip. The waters of the Straits are very perilous. I was told that thousands have died in just the last few years. But tens of thousands do make it to the other side every year, and they spread throughout Europe.
The figure 15 to 20 million, is Islam, I mean, has it become the second largest religion in Christian Europe now?
It certainly has. And, you know, for a long time, Europeans thought that their guest workers would one day go home. But now they've settled, and there's a second and there's a third generation. But, you know, European nationhood is based on ethnicity, and these societies are having great difficulty embracing diversity. And Islam, which for centuries was Christian Europe's major enemy, is seen by some Europeans as particularly alien. One thing I saw in Spain that really struck me was in the cathedral in Granada. I saw a painting of the patron saint of Spain, St. James, or Santiago in Spanish. St. James is on a horse while the horse's hoof is crushing a Moor, a Muslim, on the ground. Hence, he's called Santiago Matamoros, the Moor Slayer. And it's an image that you can see in all the churches of Spain. So what I found is that Europe's various Muslim communities feel excluded from mainstream societies. In countries such as Britain, France, and even that beacon of tolerance, the Netherlands, they live in separate, parallel societies. Poverty and discrimination are rampant. They have very little political representation. And this is all the more shocking because in Britain and in France, for example, more than half the Muslims are citizens of those countries.
So who are some of the people you met? Tell us about them.
Well, in London, I interviewed a charming Labour MP from Glasgow. He told me how his Muslim community looked badly on him when he went to the pub with his colleagues, including some, as he put it, some lassies. But he said the pub is the center of party politics, and so he tried to reassure his constituents that he only drank orange juice when he was there. And then in Rotterdam, I met a Turk of Kazakh origin. He looked like Genghis Khan. He runs what he says is the first Islamic university in Europe, and he envisions the creation of a liberal European form of Islam, which he hopes can serve as a model for the Islamic world. In Paris, there's a group of very brave women who live in the Muslim ghettos, and they stage marches and rallies to protest against sexism and sexual abuse of young women who are seen by some men as having become too Western in their behavior and dress. And one really extraordinary person I met, she's perhaps the world's first only British Asian female Muslim stand-up comic. She has received death threats from fundamentalists and sometimes has had to perform with bodyguards by her side. She's very proud of the impact she's had on other women, especially one woman who was so inspired that she dared to defy her parents and she applied for an office job.
What about the fundamentalists? Some of these September 11th suicide bombers had lived and studied in Europe for years. How strong is the extremist movement?
Well, extremists definitely do exist. I also interviewed a fundamentalist sheikh who is virulently anti-Western and who wants to create an Islamic state in Europe. But from all accounts, they really form a very small, albeit potentially a very dangerous, minority. The main problem is that discrimination against Muslims, both in school and in the job market, is so intense that substantial numbers of these second and third generation young people are turning to Islam as a badge of national identity. And some of them are really ripe for recruitment by extremists. And then there's another problem that nearly all the imams, the Islamic preachers in Europe, are sent here from Islamic countries. And very few of them speak the language or have even very much understanding of the host society. In the Netherlands now, all new imams are required to take language and integration courses. And I was told by the teacher of of the first of these courses that his students were shocked when they learned that, for example, gay marriage and euthanasia are legal in the Netherlands. So the integration process, it's certainly going to be very difficult, and it's going to take a lot of time. But it does seem that after, you know, years of ignoring the existence of these various Muslim communities on their territories, Europeans are finally acknowledging that Islam is here to stay and that Europe is no longer a Christian fortress.
NPR's Sylvia Poggioli. Her five-part series on Muslims in Europe begins tomorrow on All Things Considered, and she joined us from Rome this morning. Sylvia, thanks very much.
Thank you, Leanne.